the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 6th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. A lawsuit has been filed now against the Alabama Attorney General over what plaintiffs call threats to criminalize those who aid individuals who go out of state to get an abortion.
Assisting in abortion care is part of the Yellowhammer Fund's work, and its executive director, Janice Fountain, says Attorney General Steve Marshall's remarks have forced the nonprofit to cease operations out of fear of prosecution, prompting the legal battle. Fountain says the need for her group's assistance has only increased since the fall of Roe v. Wade.
It's important to take a stand because not everyone is able to vocalize their disdain or organize around it, and we are. And so I think it's important for folks to know, like, there are people out here advocating for us having autonomy over our bodies, and it's not something that we can just, like, lay down and say, oh, this is fine.
The lawsuit claims the AG's threats violate constitutional rights to freedom of expression, association, travel, and due process. And Fountain contends they also impinge on the rights of states where abortion is legal. Marshall has argued in a court filing that he has the authority to prosecute anyone who helps with out-of-state abortion access. Shantia Hudson reporting.
And former Proud Boys chairman Enrique Torrio, sentenced to 22 years in prison for seditious conspiracy and leading a failed plot to prevent the transfer of power from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. That from CNN. They report the sentence from District Judge Timothy Kelly is the longest given to anyone in relation to the January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol attack. CNN notes that Terrio leaned against the podium at the front of the courtroom and hung his head as the judge handed down his sentence. And as refugees and immigrant families try to carve out new futures in North Dakota, aid groups say some people are having their lives upended by housing-related issues.
The organization Bismarck Global Neighbor says it's working with a family from East Africa that was asked to pay $6,000 after moving out of an apartment building. The group's Leah Hargrove says the fee was for blanket repairs, with most of it going to work that was likely to be done anyway. The mother acknowledges some standard fixes were needed, but Hargrove argues it's an example of a property manager going too far.
To me, it seemed like a really egregious example of a company taking advantage of someone that they knew isn't aware of their rights.
Her group and a local attorney are helping the family challenge the fee in court. The High Plains Fair Housing Center says the issue is happening elsewhere in the state, typically with large housing firms. State Senator Bob Paulson, who is a landlord, feels current laws dealing with these matters are adequate, but would be willing to consider changes if widespread discrimination becomes more apparent. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. A China-based company, Ebon International, won't be getting discounted energy prices for its proposed crypto mining facility in eastern Kentucky. That from the state's regulators.
The Public Service Commission is also expected to issue a decision this month on rate discounts for another crypto mining facility in Hatfield. Tom Smar with the environmental law firm Earth Justice explains the special contract Ebon and Kentucky Power lobbied for would have given the company millions of dollars in subsidies. The problem, he says, is crypto mining is energy intensive, strains electric grids, and would have likely resulted in rate increases passed on to residents.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission just thought this was too risky of a contract at a time when Kentucky Power itself has had trouble serving its existing customers.
Under state law, utilities are allowed to offer special rates as an incentive for businesses. Supporters argued energy discounts help attract companies to bring jobs and other economic benefits to the utility service area. Nadia Romlagan reporting.
Eagle County, one of Colorado's most prized outdoor recreation destinations, drawing visitors from across the globe, but 20% of the county's residents, many of whom speak Spanish, do not have ready access to parks and to open space.
The Eagle Valley Outdoor Movement has been working to change that. Jessica Fallis with the Eagle Valley Land Trust, a member of the coalition, points to a recent survey where residents made it clear that they understood the multiple benefits of experiencing the natural world.
Being in the outdoors helps them feel more empowered. Bringing their friends with them and facilitating outdoor programs in nature makes them feel more connected to their community and increases their happiness. The benefits to experiencing nature are immediate as well as long-term.
Many Spanish-speaking community members say outdoor spaces in the county do not feel welcoming because signage is not available in Spanish. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, from our Mark Moran, green energy advocates are pushing wind power as an economic development tool in rural America.
Working with the Clean Grid Alliance to educate people about renewable power, former state senator and Worth County Commissioner Merlin Bartz advocates for wind power as a way for Iowa's small towns and counties to boost local revenue, diversify the economy, and broaden the tax base. He says in Worth County, for instance, nearly 300 wind turbines generate not just power, but more than $172 million for the local economy.
And particularly in a county like Worth, with only 7,500 people and one of the smallest geographic counties in the state, that's enormous.
Iowa recently announced more than half of the energy generated in the state comes from wind. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here is an interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.